So I had actually appeared on TV that day on a local TV station because it was International Stuttering Awareness Day. So building a lot of momentum on launch day is so huge because it really just sets the tone for the rest of the show.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam A. Adams. And today's guest is a little bit different than some of the other guests that we'll have because many guests come onto the show and they started their podcast because they had a business and they basically wanted to just grow how much money they could make with the business. Maya Chupkov has a full-time job. She wanted to be an advocate. She wanted to make something happen she was passionate about. And she may or may not. It seems like there's a nonprofit coming up. And she's really excited where this might be taking her. And it could perhaps become her only career. I'm looking at the podcast right now. It's called Proud Stutter. And if you want to find it, you can easily type that in, Proud Stutter, or you can scroll down to the show notes and you can get Maya's full bio as well as the link to the podcast. So today we're going to find out a little bit more about her journey, and I'll certainly ask a few questions about what she struggled with, what she's doing right, and what she might be doing wrong so that you can learn from her mistakes or from the things that she's doing really well and is going well for her. This is fun. Buckle up. Let's jump in. Hey, Maya, it's really good to have you. So how long have you had the podcast? I see that you've got 41 ratings, which is a lot compared to the norm, to the average. So that's really, really cool. And I'm wondering, did you get that done in 1 month or has it been 10 years?
Well, first, thank you, Adam, so much for having me. And yeah, to answer your question, so Proud Stutter has kind of been in the works for almost 2 years now, actually. And so the planning process has been very comprehensive and thoughtful and all that stuff. And so I wanted to make sure I had a solid foundation before I jumped in and launched my first episode. So our first episode launched in October of 2021 on International Stuttering Awareness Day, which is every year on October 22nd. And our trailer was released a few weeks before that.
Okay. What made you so passionate about the topic?
Stuttering has always been something I've hidden for most of my life. I'm 29 years old, and it was just something that was, there's a lot of shame around it. I didn't want people to know I had this thing about me. I just kind of wanted people to know me for me and not my stutter. And so I tried really hard my entire life to hide it. You probably are thinking to yourself, oh, I don't hear her stutter. Stuttering is very misunderstood. It comes in many forms. So you might hear me stutter later, you might not. And I'm so passionate about it because there are so many people out there that stutter and are dealing with it isolated and alone. And so I'm so passionate about it because the power of podcasting can really help people feel less alone, whether you're doing it about stuttering or about something else, even around, you know, trying to start a business. That can be a really lonely process. And so having a podcast where you can learn in community with other folks, that's such a powerful thing.
Yeah. So there's this comedian. I don't know if you know who he is. I don't even remember his name, but ever since Reels and Shorts and who knows what these things are called, they've been coming out, and there's this one comedian, super duper funny. And part of his thing is that he's always stuttered his whole life. He's like a small framed man. Do you know who I'm talking about? Have you seen him? Or have you had him on your podcast?
I actually don't think I know of him.
Ah, I'll try to find it. because the guy is so freaking funny. Like, I watched one of his reels or shorts on some platform, I don't remember what, and because I watched the whole thing, it keeps coming up, and he's quickly becoming one of my favorite comedians. Part of his approach is to bring forward his stutter. So I'll figure it out, because I bet you it would be good to have him on your show, which brings me to my question. Do you have guests on your show, or are these solo episodes where it's just you speaking? How do you run your podcast?
Yeah, so it's kind of changed from what I initially thought it would be. So now we are a guest interview oriented show. It originally started with me and my friend who doesn't stutter, of just us kind of talking about different topics. And we experimented with having a guest on early on. And we thought it was such a great conversation that we thought, like, let's keep doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah. A couple questions about stuttering, because I stutter also sometimes, but maybe I can't qualify. I'm not sure. But when I do stutter, most of it will happen when I'm upset. Like if I'm mad, or I always stutter with my kids' names. I call them my brother's name, the wrong son's name, back to the some other name, back to, and it takes me forever. I'm like, Johnny, so I guess what qualifies as stuttering? And is there something that happens that makes people stutter more, like when they're emotional or anything like that?
That's a really good question. And there isn't really a concrete answer, because even people that are studying stuttering and what the causes are and what's going on in your body around stuttering, it's still very unclear. There are studies that show it has to do with genetics, how your brain is wired. There's also stuttering that can occur after trauma, or so more of that psychological onset. And so there's so many different forms of stuttering. And so I don't think someone needs to qualify to identify as someone who stutters. It's really just how you feel. Like if you feel you have a stutter and want to claim that, I think that's totally fine. My stutter, it comes and goes. So I can have very fluent days where I come off as fluent. And then there's other days where I can't get a word out and it's very consistent. So
inconsistent?
It's very consistent. So it comes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I stutter a lot more. And that unpredictability can be very frustrating, because I could be thinking, oh, I'm going to have a very fluent day. And then I get up to do a speech or something, and it's like, I start stuttering. And so, yeah, it can just be very jolting. And like, I kind of just have learned to do the best I can. But ever since I've come out about stuttering through my podcast, like if you Google me now, you automatically know that I have a stutter. And so that has been very easier on me pressure-wise, because I might be stuttering in front of a group of people and they're like, okay, what's going on with her? Is she nervous? And then maybe they look me up later and see that I stutter, and then they're like, oh, she just has a speech impediment. So I think it definitely helps me not feel as pressured to sound fluent, because I know there is that sense of like helping people understand me more. But it is very frustrating to be a woman who stutters, because there's so much pressure to like come off as confident and come off as a certain way, right? Just being a woman, sometimes I feel like I have to overcompensate and really show that, you know, I have it all together. And sometimes my stuttering can be seen as like a weakness or something.
Yeah. One of the things that you were talking about is that somebody has seen you. They wondered, why is she stuttering? Is she nervous? They found out later that it's normal for you. It's something that you've been going through. And I was thinking, like, do you stutter more if you're nervous, because I think I do. Like, I'm not trying to say I'm stutter all the time, but I think when I'm nervous is when it happens the most. And so has that happened for you, or are you just confident, cool, calm, and collected, and it's just coming out and you don't know why?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do stutter more when I'm nervous. I stutter more when I don't get enough sleep. So there is some physical and psychological things that can impact my stutter. But like, seriously, like ever since doing the podcast, I like talk so much. And so just talking, and it's almost like practicing, where since I, the podcast, and since I have to like force myself to like hear myself stutter all the time, my confidence now, it's just at such a higher level than it was before. And I think it's just because I'm so comfortable with my stutter now that it's when I get up on stage, I'm just so much more comfortable up there. And I think a lot of stuttering is tied to being uncomfortable. Mm. So another example of when I stutter more is if I'm, let's say, at a wedding or a fundraiser or somewhere where, you know, there's all these people I don't know and small talk is like kind of expected, those situations I stutter a lot more. And I think it's just because that uncomfortable environment.
So if somebody stutters, do you recommend them starting a podcast, coming out, going to more weddings to practice, and to get into those uncomfortable situations to kind of help them hit it directly and, I guess, help them feel better about it?
I think it's hard to recommend one, two, or even three things for someone to do if they are experiencing a stutter. I think the first question they should ask themselves, because even before asking yourself that, there's like, for me, I didn't even want to talk about stuttering. Like, I didn't even want to come to terms with it. So I wasn't even at the level of even coming to terms with it. So it does take that first initiation step to even, you know, ask that one question that I'm about to ask. So I think it's a lot, and there have been a lot of listeners of my podcast that have written to me and have said, I've steered away from even talking or thinking about my stutter until I heard your podcast, because it really just helped me get into a space where I could actually start thinking about it more. And so that's step one. So I think the more we just hear more stories about stuttering, I think the more people will take that first jump of like, okay, I can think about it and not like hide away. And that was me until literally like 2 years ago. So after you reach that hump, then you can ask yourself, okay, what do I want to do? Like, do I want to go to speech therapy? What is my goal with my stutter? Do I want to feel more okay with my stutter? So just starting to like think about that, because there is speech therapy out there where they can help you, you know, feel more comfortable in your stutter. And if you want to like learn tools to try to hide it, like, that's an option. For me, I don't want to hide my stutter. I want actually the opposite. Like, I actually want to stutter more, and I want to feel comfortable stuttering more, because I've reached the point in my journey where every time I stutter, it's an opportunity to educate people and for them to hear a stutter. And so the next time they interact with a stutter, they'll know what's going on.
Cool. How many questions are there? I got one where it's just basically, what do I want to do? What's my goal with this? Do I want to go to speech therapy? Do I want to, what do you do? Wave it out there?
Like, yeah. What
you're basically saying. It sounded like you said that's your first question, but I want to make sure that I get as many questions as you think we need to be answering.
Yeah. So that's one question. And then another question is, do I want to like talk to someone in my life, like be that first person to just talk about it with? Like, you, depending on who you are, and like sometimes stutters, they haven't even had that conversation with a family member or a friend. And so, for example, one listener, she came out to her sister first. And so that really helped her having someone close in her life. And she's not ready to take that step yet with her whole family, but sometimes just identifying one person to have that coming out conversation with could be helpful as well. So that's number two. And then number three is just like, there are so many virtual stuttering groups where you can attend like for free via Zoom. And Proud Stutter does have a community of folks that come, you know, once a month and either share or not share, but just being in a virtual space with other people who stutter could really help. And then the last thing, which surprisingly, ever since season one, there have been people that have never talked about their stutter, and then they actually come on Proud Stutter and talk about it openly for the first time. And that is a true healing process, because sharing your voice as someone who stutters, it's such an emotional, empowering way to just come to terms with your stutter and really experience that feeling of being who you are.
So I got four things. Find out what your goal is. Find out what you want to accomplish, how you want this to look. Now, the second one is figure out who you want to talk with first, like in your family. Third is to find a community where you can connect with more people that are like-minded, like you, can resonate with. And the fourth one, I guess, is to share your voice, like to really, you might have came out to a family member before, and now you are basically sharing your story with the world. And it's really liberating and helpful. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sweet. I like that. So you were starting a podcast. You were thinking about it a couple of years ago. You eventually got it started. I think you said it launched in October of 21. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first. Okay. And I think as we're recording, you have about 20-ish episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. And you started, I think, doing more solos, but then you are now having listeners of the show come on the podcast. Couple of questions. First, was it hard to start a podcast? Were you really tech savvy, or were you worried about that? Kind of like, what did you go through when you were launching the show?
Yeah, going into it, I had no idea what I was doing. That's why there was such a big period of planning, because I just needed to work, you know, all of that out. And so it was definitely really hard in the beginning. But what really helped was I brought on my best friend, Cynthia, who wanted to go on this podcasting journey with me and learn a new skill as well. So she was more techie than me. She didn't know how to edit a podcast, but she took on that role of learning. And we ended up dividing roles. I was the producer. I would book the guests. I would plan out the episodes, and she would do the editing. And so having the first season be like having a partner was super helpful, because I don't think I would have been able to do it on my own. And I also was the person doing all the marketing and communications, because that's what my bread and butter is. That's what I'm really good at. And I think that's what made the podcast so successful, is because I had such a robust marketing strategy. And that included getting press coverage, getting people to write a review. All of these things I planned out months in advance. So on launch day, we had huge momentum. We did a launch party, and we did it on a holiday where we got so many eyes on it because, yeah, so just all of those factors, really planning ahead really helped.
I got four really cool takeaways from you so far on your journey launching a podcast. And first and foremost, you didn't know what you were doing. You just knew that you wanted to do it. And I think there's going to be at least one listener with us right now who's like, I really don't know what I'm doing, but I want to have a podcast. The second thing, and I share that because I think it's important for us to know that it can be done, even though we haven't done it before. Second thing that I got was that you brought in a friend, Cynthia. Is she a co-host of the show?
She was for season one.
Okay. So she was for season one. I want to keep sharing these four things because this is really good. But what happened? Why isn't she on there for season two and beyond?
So originally we were just going to have one season put less pressure on ourselves and then reassess after that. And so editing, as a lot of you probably know, is very time consuming. And I don't think she realized how time consuming it was. And so after season one, she kind of had other things going on in her life. And so she made sure the transition was smooth. She taught me how to edit. And so now I do all the editing. And so, yeah, that's kind of how Cynthia was involved and then helped me transition to a solo host. Yeah.
What made Cynthia passionate about the same topic?
So Cynthia wanted to do a podcast too. She wanted to experience that. And so it just worked out well that she was really down to do a project with me. We actually had a radio show in college together. And so it was like a music radio show. And so we kind of had that relationship already and that banter.
Does she stutter also?
No. So what was really great about having her is it really distinguished us in the stuttering podcast world, because there are quite a few stuttering podcasts. But what really helped distinguish us from others, which is another tip, is you always have to try to carve out your own niche when there's other topics similar to yours around podcasting. We were the only podcast that had an outsider perspective. And so she was able to ask questions that I couldn't ask because she didn't stutter, and people loved having that outsider perspective.
I love that. That's really cool. So if you were going to start a podcast, did you need Cynthia to give you more confidence in having a radio show? Or did you need her because she was more tech savvy and could edit?
I knew at the beginning I wanted a co-host because I knew it would be really good for me to be able to bounce ideas off of and to just have that support.
Yeah.
It just so happened that Cynthia, you know, she really wanted to get involved. Like, we just had a dinner as friends and I just mentioned this like briefly, and she was like, I'd love to be your co-host. So it happened very naturally, and she had video editing experience. So she was able to kind of use that techie side of her, and she's so savvy when it comes to just learning things. So
yeah, cool. So having a friend to bounce ideas off of helps. The third thing is dividing and conquering, really, where you're not wearing all the hats. You did marketing and getting the guests. She did, you know, editing and some of the other techie stuff. So divide and conquer, huge, huge takeaway. I think anyone out there should probably not wear all the hats. So I love that you mentioned that. It can be difficult and challenging and maybe overwhelming at first if you have to do everything yourself and it's in the beginning. It sounds like you're doing almost everything yourself now, but
yeah,
and it's, in the rhythm of it, you know, you were about to say it's
very overwhelming, to be honest.
Still overwhelming. Okay. Got it.
Especially juggling a full-time job. My full-time job is very intense. I love it. It's great, but it is very intense. But I think what makes it complement the podcast really well is I actually work with a lot of journalists a lot. And so from that, I get to form all of these collaborations with like journalists that want to learn more about stuttering.
Yeah, nice. The fourth thing, and I put it all in caps for my notes, marketing. You basically said that marketing was always part of the plan. From the beginning, from the get-go, you knew that you were going to get these ratings reviews. You knew that you were going to launch on a certain day that was kind of like a holiday. You knew that all of these things. And so, like Stephen Covey says, you began with the end in mind. You already had known that you wanted to partner with somebody. You knew that you wanted somebody to take off some of the work. You knew that you needed to do marketing. And this is actually amazing that you bring these up, because I feel like I'm a broken record. I feel like I'm the only one who ever says some of this stuff that says, don't wear all the hats. It can be overwhelming. Or, for example, if you don't do marketing in the very beginning, it's going to be extremely challenging for you to ever get the traction that you need. To have 41 ratings with 20 episodes is very remarkable. Basically getting 2 ratings every time you launch an episode. Most of the people that I've seen that have had 30 or more generally will have 60 or more episodes. So one every other episode. So you've done some things really, really well. I want to get to what are some of the things, some of the specifics that you've done for marketing, since it is obviously working well for you. And that's kind of your background. But yeah, number 4 takeaway was marketing. I think a lot of people come to the table and think ready, fire, aim, just start, don't overthink it, or if you build it, they will come. They watched Field of Dreams and they think just by having a podcast, they're automatically famous. They can get into restaurants for free now. Everybody knows their name. And it only works if you are putting fuel to the fire, if you're adding more wood to the fire. And some people just, they get that lighter, they see that it's flamed and they're like, okay, this is perfect. We started it. And then they do nothing else and never can get bigger, just run out of gas. So I love that. Love that. If there was a 5th thing, though, that you said after that was really good takeaway, and you talked about carving out a niche, especially when you are creating something where there's other competition. So there's 2.77 million podcasts out there, or there was about 6 months before recording this. It was the last stat that I saw. And 2.77 million. So there's already a lot. And in your niche with stuttering, there was already tens of them, or who knows. And you had to figure out how to be different. I've said on the podcast before a story about this guy named who is a cave person who basically figured out fire, and he became the 2nd chief ever because he drew a line in the sand and he stood for something different. And so now people know why they would go to him instead of just stay with the other people. So carving out your niche is a huge, huge thing. So let's talk about these 2 things. Marketing. Can you give us like a marketing plan? I'm brand new. I'm listening. And I want to get some real good takeaways about what Maya did for marketing.
Yeah, so there's a lot there, but I'll just kind of try to be as brief as possible. But one of the first things I did is I actually signed up for a bunch of newsletters that talked about marketing and stuff like that, just from a podcast lens. And so there was this one person, and I totally, it was so long ago, I forget the name, but they would send me emails like every day. Okay, here's day 1, day 2. And so I literally just like did what he said. And so like one of the tips was a month before we launched our trailer, I gathered like 30 people to organize them on launch day to write a review, like us on social, like do one of these things. And so on launch day, we just have all this momentum. And so I kind of wrote an email saying, here's everything you can do to support me on launch day. And one of the things was writing a review on launch day after they listened to the first episode. And so that's how I got a lot of reviews day 1 because of that strategy. So that was one amazing tip. The second one is organizing a launch event. And so at that event, it was a great venue. I invited a lot of people. I had a stuttering comedian come and do a bit. I had my swag there and I had people, you know, engage with the content. So I had actually appeared on TV that day on a local TV station because it was International Stuttering Awareness Day. And so I played that at the event. And, you know, so building a lot of momentum on launch day is so huge because it really just sets the tone for the rest of the show. And so my third tip is I created a content calendar of all of the holidays or all the different ways I could, you know, do media around my podcast. So International Stuttering Awareness Day was huge because a lot of people were interested in covering it. I got a lot of media to cover it. And then I planned out what other holidays that I would be trying to do media advocacy in. So another holiday was National Stuttering Awareness Week. And so I got a lot of press coverage from that. And from that, I actually got so many listeners reach out and tell me that they heard me either on the radio or saw me in an article. And now they're like my biggest fans. So those are like three big tips. There's like 50 more, but I'll just keep it there for now.
Yeah. Gee whiz. Before I wrap that part up, there's some so much good stuff. How much did it all cost? Like to get on TV, to organize this event?
Zero. Oh, well, the event, I had to put a deposit down for the event. That was $400, but I made it all up in sales from my swag. So it really was $0 just after that.
Okay. But you had to make swag before you went. And so was there an investment in that where you were able to sell it?
Yeah, there was an investment. It wasn't very big because I used my friends to help me out. And so we ordered all the t-shirts and hats and stuff, which wasn't that much. And then they actually did the actual embroidery themselves at their homes. So if you have friends that you can kind of ask for a favor when it comes to all this launch stuff, definitely tap into that because I save so much money just using my friend. Of course, every time I sell, I pay them like a percentage. But yeah, it does take some investment for sure in the beginning. But if I can do it, you can too, because I work at a nonprofit. I live in the most expensive city in the world. And I'm passionate enough where I'm able to really invest in this. And so there is, you know, a way to do it where you're not spending a lot.
Wow. Okay, so much. So first big takeaway, if you're listening and you want to have an awesome podcast, if you're thinking about a friend who's about to launch their podcast, I want you to forward this podcast to them. Say, hey, listen at the 30 or 40 minute mark. It really starts getting good about like how to launch a podcast and you're about to launch a podcast. Or man, if you're listening and you want to have some really good tips, Maya just mentioned some fantastic stuff. First and foremost, 30 days before she even launched, and I'm bringing this up because I serve podcasters in my company and they come to me and they would never think about this. So I'm pretty confident that you wouldn't have thought about this. Organizing 30 people, even a month before you ever are launching, and I've got in quotes, after they listened. Remember when Maya said, I asked them, these are some of the things you could do. And one of them was to leave a written review after they listened. After. And that's, I think, really important because the review is going to have more impact if they know what the show is all about, if they can talk about the show. Another thing she did is had that launch event. Another thing she did is she did TV appearances. She coordinated that with International Stutter Awareness Day or week, different events that were coming up. She would organize it to be right around that time to get the most amount of traction. And she even went and grabbed a calendar. Go think about this. It doesn't matter if your podcast is in whatever genre, it doesn't matter. If you want to find ways of doing more promotion, you can line certain things up on the days that it is. So we can talk about any of the holidays that would work for you. If 4th of July, Independence Day, because you're talking about the Constitution in your podcast, figure that out. Like talking about human rights, there's a bunch of different holidays around human rights, right? And you can line this up to grow your influence and get on TV for free. So Maya, I've got so many questions and I don't know if I'll be able to ask them all, but you have a sponsor now, right? I thought I heard you say that in the beginning.
Yeah. So I have a fiscal sponsor, which means that now I can start applying for grants. And okay. So I knew that there was so much interest in Proud Stutter. And so I made it so that I could get a fiscal sponsor so I could start applying for grants to help fund my show and the advocacy I'm doing.
Can you tell me more about how that works? And also for the listener, I want to make sure that I understand, and I don't yet. So you can't get a grant unless you have a sponsor, and a fiscal sponsor means a financial, they're paying some certain amount of money. Why is that important? And how does it apply to other podcasters?
So there are a lot of grants out there where you can just apply as an individual. Those are totally optional, but the kinds of grants that I wanted to apply to, I either needed to become a nonprofit myself, which takes a long time and you have to go through the state and all this stuff. So that was one path. But then there's this other path where you can apply to get someone to fiscally sponsor you. And so what that means is, like, if you apply for a grant and you get it, it goes through the fiscal sponsor and then they distribute to you and they take a certain percentage to like do all the overhead and administrative stuff. And so that's kind of the path I went for because I found a fiscal sponsor that really aligned with my values and fit exactly what Proud Stutter fit exactly what the type of projects they sponsor. And they were also based here where I'm based in San Francisco. And they also had other podcasts that they were already sponsoring. So they were familiar with the space. And so my small donor program, or, you know, I have a ko-fe.com account. So I think it's either Ko-Fi or Ko-Fi or something. It's kind of like a Patreon. Like, I do have a lot of members, but it wasn't to the kind of level that I wanted. And so applying to grants just opens up so many opportunities to get funding to support your work financially.
That's really, really interesting. The people that you connected with that are also in San Francisco that have helped and sponsored other podcasts and were familiar with the space, did they reach out to you or did you reach out to them? Like, how did you know about them? And like, how did you go about bringing them in as a sponsor? Because I know that the listener wants to know, like, how do they find people? Are they going to wait for them to come to them? And how does that conversation start? And with all of that said, I'm also curious if you had to create some type of package, like on paper or a digital, like, you know, sheet that you need to give to them. So do you mind just telling us how did you get them after you, you know, who met who and kind of like logistically what happened?
Yeah. So I just started Googling fiscal sponsor podcast or fiscal sponsor arts, you know, all these keywords. And I wanted it to be local as well. So I also typed in San Francisco. And this organization was one of the first things that popped up. And I also researched others as well, but this was, they took the least amount of percentage. And so that was really important for me too. So they would take 10% of any grant I would get. And so I looked at their website, I downloaded the application, filled it out, sent it in, and then they sent me an email. We did an interview just to make sure it was a good fit. And then it happened. It was very fast. Although I had been thinking about a fiscal sponsor for about 5 months before I decided to do it, because it was time consuming. A lot of the questions they ask, it's like, if you don't have it already in your head, it's really hard to kind of be authentic about it. And so I already did all of this vision planning way ahead of time. And so I was able to really knock out an application quickly. So that's kind of how the process was. But a lot of fiscal sponsors, it's not that quick. I think I got really lucky for finding an entity that supported projects like mine. And it did have to have kind of like a social justice type of lens. So I think all of those things just really helped me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm ready to agree with you that you got lucky. I feel, and I've noticed this in you since before we started to record, and it grows every time you talk about any part of your podcast. When you talk about marketing, you have a lot of planning and preparation. When you talk about the sponsor, there's a lot of work that went into it. There was a lot of Googling this term, that term, this other term, this city, that city. You had a whole bunch of people in front of you. In a way, I think we kind of make our own luck, and it's a really good takeaway for the listener, I think, to understand how passionate you are and how hard you work, because luck is like when preparation meets, I don't remember the quote, luck is when preparation meets, you know, whatever. You're open to it. You're looking for it. You know what it looks like. And you're doing a shit ton of work to make sure that it can happen. So I'm not ready to say you got lucky. I think you've got a quality that the rest of us need to use in our lives, which is hard work and dedication to anything that we're looking for, to launch a podcast, to partner with somebody, to do more marketing, to find our niche, or to find a paying sponsor or grants. It's like remarkable how much effort you put into things to make sure that they happen. And if you didn't, quote, get lucky with this company, you would have got lucky with another company because you worked so hard at it. So I want to know if you could tell us in like 30 seconds or less, so we can jump off before our next calls. What did you do to carve out your niche for your podcast? Like, you see all these other stuttering podcasts. What is the simplified way that you were able to find your uniqueness?
I know it was building a community with both the stuttering community and those outside of the stuttering community, because I think what I've seen in the stuttering world is that it's kind of a bubble, and not a lot of stuttering organizations, for example, partner with other organizations outside of stuttering. And so I want Proud Stuttered to be about, first and foremost, people who stutter, but also how can we build community and build a movement with other movements outside stuttering, because we're more powerful together. And so that's why for season two, just because Cynthia is not there anymore, we're doing something new where each episode will have a co-host that doesn't stutter from another area of life to help me interview the guest who stutters, in an effort to build community, build allyship, so we can really start to shift views about stuttering.
Yeah. Awesome. That is so freaking badass. I love it. It's remarkable what you're doing, how you're doing it. And I hope that the listener has all of these takeaways, the four questions you need to ask the strategy of getting this done, even though you hadn't done it before. All of these tips out of the dozens of things you may have done, but like these three or four main things that you think really helped the podcast, and then how to carve out a niche and how to find a paying sponsor, and something that's brand new to the podcast, never been brought up ever, is getting grants. Also, not just having a sponsor, but also being able to get grants, which is just really, really cool. And I appreciate you sharing your story with us, sharing your passions with us, sharing us what you did right. And I think that I'm going to leave this knowing some more, and I think the listener will too. So Maya, thank you. If you're listening and you don't want to do your podcast stuff on your own, Grow Your Show can help you. Just go to growyourshow.com. And also in the show notes is Maya's bio, her website, and the podcast. So if you want to jump on over there and join her movement, remember, you've got to have your movement. Go and join the movement and give her an honest rating and review after you've listened. We'll talk to you on the next episode. This is serious. Don't go. Now that you've gotten whatever value that you feel that you got, the actionable takeaways, you need to implement the stuff that you learn. If you remember me talking about bird church once, and they learn how to fly, and then they walk home, I don't want you to walk home. I want you to fly home. So take the steps, take the actionable steps for your benefit so that you can become a better podcaster. That's the only thing that I ask of you. And I'll see you for more actionable tips on the very next episode.